I want to challenge you this morning and challenge us all. As I said, let's just have a little confession, okay? Confession's good for the soul, right? You know, I want to tell on myself, because I've been watching things on TV and of course that's a first mistake, watching news, but watching different things going on and saying, Lord, how, when you think you got God figured out, then you realize you don't have God figured out. And, I know, like many of us, we thought the election was going to go a certain way. It didn't. And I still think God is up to something. What exactly? I don't know what, but I still believe God is up to something here. And in this, and I kept waiting, and this is the confession, I kept waiting, thinking, okay, just to see how this is going to play out, thinking, okay, the Trump was going to get reelected and the COVID was going to go away, and, because I'm not saying the virus isn't real, because many of y'all have had it, and, we've known people that's had it, has been, some have died from it, but I was thinking, okay, Lord, let's just get through this storm, and then, things are going to open back up, and we're going to see a lot of things going, and I waited. I just kept waiting, dragging my feet, waiting for things to happen, things to go a certain way, things in a way I thought they were. And in doing that, I found myself just waiting and just kind of in a holding pattern. Anybody been kind of like that? Just been in a holding pattern, just waiting for, things to happen. And the inauguration took place, and I thought, I didn't think it was going to take place. I thought, the Lone Ranger was going to ride on, High O Silver, and it was going to get taken care of. I mean, I was just waiting, And it didn't happen. Now, I got other comments and other thoughts on that. God is still up to something. Now, however this goes, I know one thing, regardless who's in the White House, regardless who's in power, regardless how this thing plays out, I'm still convinced of this one thing. Jesus is on the throne, and Jesus is coming soon. And that's one thing we all got to remind ourselves. And if that is a fact, and we believe that, then we've got to get busy and get moving. We've still got a job to do, no matter what's going on in Washington. We still got a job to do right here and right now. And the Lord reminded me of that, is we've got to open things up. We got to get things rolling, things to do. We got to be busy about the Master's business. And we as believers need to tell others Jesus is coming soon. Amen? And this kind of segues to what I want to be talking about, is we have a responsibility. All of us have a responsibility. So I hope you wore your steel-toed shoes this morning, because pastors are going to do a little toe stomping. But it's not necessarily to me. I'm not here to beat. And a lot of times people think, well, pastors, preachers just beat people up. No, I'm not here to beat you up. I'm here to challenge you. I'm here to awaken the church. I'm here to get us to be mindful. And here's the thing, too. Let me go back a couple weeks ago. And I know this was online, and hopefully many of you watched. But in the beginning, the first Sunday of the month, I preached a message on about fast and prayer. And the Lord reminded me of this, too. Okay? So listen to this point. That when you fast and you pray, and I'm going to specifically talk about the 21-day fast for just a second. When you fast and you pray, in the case of Daniel's, the 21-day fast, you do not need to look for God to do anything in the midst of that fast, in the midst of that time period. A lot of times we expect God to move. Well, if I fast, then God will move. No, God don't move until after the fast, after the time period is completed. And for some of us, we've been fasting, we've been praying in various ways, various forms, but we should not expect God to do anything within that time period. We've just come out of that. And I know some across the country, some start at January 1st and then go through. So that's the 1st. So God wasn't going to do anything for the first 21 days. He's wanting his people to pray. My people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, and pray. Repent and pray. So my thing is, I go back to this. God's still up to something regardless. Now that we have completed the 21 days, now that we've gone through the first 21 days, I believe God is getting ready to move upon his church. I believe God's getting ready to do something and pour out his spirit that no matter what God does in the church house, the White House can't come against it. Can you say amen? But we have a responsibility to do. And we have a responsibility to fulfill in our part. And I want to go into this scripture this morning. This one simple scripture. Exodus 4:2. The Lord said to him, go back. What is in your hand? What is in your hand? Now, God was saying this to Moses, but think about it. What is in your hand? Look at your hands and think. And you say, well, nothing's in my hand. There may be a phone, a Bible, or something. But I'm not talking about what's physically in your hand at the moment. But what is in you that God has put there? What is in that? What is that thing has put, that skill, that calling that God has put in your hand to do? And if he's put in all of our hands something to do, then what are we doing with that calling? What are we doing with that skill? What are we doing with what the thing that God has put into our hands? And I want, and because taking an old scripture out, one we know, we all know well and good, for him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is. You know that one, huh? All right. So if I know what God has called me to do and I don't do it, then what does it become? Now you're getting it. So we have a responsibility to fulfill the call and to activate and use the thing that God has put in our hand. And I want you to get this very clear, make this very plain and understandable for all of us before we get any further, because what I'm about to say, if you don't get this part, you won't get the next little bit that I'm talking about. What God has put in your hand. Not everybody's called to sing. Not everybody's called to play an instrument. Not everybody's called to teach. Not everybody's called to preach. But all of us are called to do something for the Lord. All of us are called to do something. Some he gives the ability to build things and to fix things and do different things. For some he gives the ability and that passion to do yard work and, you know, do flowers and stuff like that and decorate. That's a calling. For some he's put a love to love on babies and to work in a nursery. That's a calling. But we've got to understand that some of the passions and some of the things that we like to do, God wants to use them for his glory and for his kingdom. And if we don't understand that, then we will miss out on some of the greatest blessing God has in store for us. We've got to take the responsibility to start cultivating the gifts and callings God has given us. And all of us have a responsibility. Let's pray. Father, I just ask you right now, Lord, as we prepare to receive your word today and hear the message that you have laid upon my heart, God, that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive. God, open my thoughts and my mind. Lord, I just want to make myself, Lord, totally available for the Holy Spirit to use today to speak what you want us to hear and to begin to walk into our purpose and our destiny and in our calling that you have all called us to. For Lord, there is a world around us that is dying and going to the grave not knowing you. And it is our responsibility as children of God to fulfill that. And I pray, Lord God, as I deliver what you have laid upon my heart, help me deliver with clarity and with such an anointing, God, that we hear and respond to your word. And I give you praise in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen. Now, three areas I want to hit this morning. First, we have a responsibility to the pastor, or there's a responsibility given to pastors and leaders, all right? Habakkuk says this in Habakkuk 2. It says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run with it who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Now, it's important for us to understand something in this, that in order to share the vision, we got to be pulling in the same direction. To share the vision, we got to know the vision so that we can all walk the same direction. If one's pulling the cart this way, you want to make sure that anybody on the other side of the cart is pushing the cart the same direction. If one's pulling on this side and the other one's pulling on that side, you'll never get anything done. And many times in a church, we see people that are doing that. You got some pulling this way, pulling that way, to where what happens is it pulls everything apart. Well, pastor don't have the vision. Pastor don't have this. No, we've got to, God gives the leaders the vision. And we all must follow the vision. Hello? We may not fully understand. And it may come in time. It also may come when we ask questions. Nothing wrong with questioning and asking questions. Why are you doing this? Because it can define the vision. That God gives the leadership the vision for us all to follow, for us all to pull the same direction. Habakkuk also said this. He said, the vision is for an appointed time. And when we look at that, we got to look and see. In these last days, God is giving churches a vision for this season which we're living in, and that season is called the last days. We are the end time church. We are the church that is going to see the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that tells us that we all have a responsibility to let our voices ring out and say, thus saith the Lord God, to get the word of God into us so that it comes out of us. Y'all heard the expression, garbage in, garbage out. What comes in will eventually come out. Well, if we ain't got this in us, then honey, there ain't nothing good that's going to come out of you. Amen. Thank you. That's why the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. I want the word in me. I want the word embedded deeply in me that when I speak, the demons will tremble and they will flee. When I speak, lives will be healed. People will be touched. We will see great and mighty things. Why? Because the word of God is going forth. It tells us it won't go away. It won't go void. We're also reminded in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. One translation says, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. Let me go add something to this. Where there is no vision, and New King James says, the people cast off restraint. That gives the indication of someone that is mad. They're crazy. Not mad, angry. They're mad, crazy. That they cast off restraint and run around as a wild man, as a crazy man. That's something that we've got to understand. If we don't have vision, we just run around wild. If we aren't pulling the same direction, we're pulling in different directions. God can't be glorified in that. We got to know that we know what God wants us to do. Without a vision, there is no goal. Without a goal, there's no direction. It opens the door to confusion and leads to misunderstanding, which leads to division. Discord and division give the enemy a foothold in our lives and in our churches. We've got to have a vision. We've got to have a place where we're going to. I know when I first came, first in October, when I came and checked out things, and you all checked out me, and we were checking, one of the counselors says, what's your vision for this church? I thought, I just rolled up. I ain't got no vision. How am I supposed to know a vision of something I've never been a part of? Do I have a clear vision? It's getting clearer. I've been here a few months. And I think God is beginning to, and that's one thing I've been praying since the first day we got here, is, Lord, what is the vision? What do you want? You know, what direction? Show me direction. And I believe, and I'm going to be sharing more of that next week. But the thing that we got to understand is God will give us a vision, and then we get behind that vision, and when we all get behind it, we got to understand, what is my place, and how can I help the vision? The leader's job is to convey the vision. And all of our jobs as believers is to get behind it to help fulfill the vision. Let's go on. I got to hurry. I got a lot to cover. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. It said, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say to you. Now, Paul writes this, in all things, showing, not telling, but showing a pattern of good works. I don't know about you, but to me, sometimes talk is cheap. We have a lot of people running around calling themselves Christians, but they sure don't act like it. Hello. People make promises, sound like politicians, make promises and then don't fulfill them. We call that a hypocrite. John says in the epistles, it says, if you say you love God and hate your brother, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. God loves people. If you don't love people, then you cannot love God. I'm not saying I agree with everything your people do. I can't say, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, well, you know, I just love what the government's doing. I love what that one's doing or this one's. Listen, I will love the people, but I won't condone their actions. There's a difference. We can love people. Jesus loved people, meaning he did not condone what they did. But he loved them. Why? Because they were a creation of his. And God loves his creation just like he loved. We're reminded, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for me just like he died for everyone else. The responsibility of leadership is an awesome task that we should not take lightly. But it's one we got to be in constant prayer and reminded that we are humble in the responsibility that God has placed upon us. But also that we're guided by the Holy Spirit. Think about this. Very few people. I remember when I first became a pastor and just felt such, you know, just like anything we do, when you when you become married, you thought, oh, wow, now you're married, and it's that newness. Okay, you know, now what do we do? You know, we got married, now what do we do? You know, you have kids, you know, you bring them home, and okay, now what do we do with it? You know, but when you first learn to drive and you get behind that wheel and you feel like, oh, my gosh, I'm actually doing this. I remember when I became a pastor and the weight of the responsibility came upon me that I was charged with this and I love my parents deeply. I love them dearly. But my dad, we were talking one day and he said, well, I know how you feel. And I said, Dad, no, you don't. You cannot know the mantle of responsibility that's placed upon a pastor if you've never pastored. You don't know the responsibility of these lives. Understand that every week when you get behind the pulpit that you're delivering what thus saith the Lord and you're doing what's right and you're dividing the word correctly because people's lives hang, their eternal lives hang in the balance on what you say. Most people cannot understand that responsibility. Some say, well, they just work one day a week. What's the big deal? Well, okay. You've never walked in the shoes of a pastor, so, you know, okay. But understanding that decisions, you know, John Maxwell says that everything rises and falls on the leader. The church's success or demise is looked to the leader. Not that the leader does it all, because he can't. And if you think he can, then you need to take off the rose-colored glasses, because a pastor can't do it all. He's not called to do it all. It's not biblical for him to do it all. But the fact of the matter is, there's a responsibility. And we all talk and teach responsibility. Not only we've heard it as when we were growing up, we've heard it most of our lives. We teach it to our children and to our grandchildren about accepting responsibility. Well, we all have a responsibility to live within the kingdom of God. That brings me to the next point. Because not only is there a responsibility for the leader, there's a responsibility for the church. Hello? Ephesians 4, get ready now. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 12. It says, for equipping the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now let me stop right there for a minute. For the equipping of the saints. Now you go back to verse 11 and, you know, and you read, and he called some to be pastors, prophets, teachers, you know, so on. But look at that. Those five, it says, basically, they are equipping the saints for the what? For the work of ministry. Now, some will look at that and say, oh, yeah, see, there, we do the work. You just sit back and we just do the... Anybody ever... Whether you teach anything, teaching isn't easy. Teaching is not, we need to thank God for our Sunday school teachers. Teaching is not easy. Not everybody can do it. Not everybody has the patience. Teaching anything can be difficult. Teaching anything can be hard. Because teaching is not just a one and done thing. It takes time. It takes growth. So the leadership is not, hey, I'm going to teach you, okay, Brother Joey, here's a book, here's a commentary, go teach. No, if I'm equipping him, now look at this, not just about telling, it's equipping. Equipping the saints. You see, the leaders, when we preach, when we teach, we're equipping the saints for the work of ministry. Every Sunday, and beginning in February, every Wednesday, as we begin to teach and we preach, it's equipping the saints for the work of ministry. But if we get equipment and we get equipped and we don't do the work of ministry, then we neglect our responsibility as children of God to do our part. Because let's read on. For equipping the saints, for the edifying the body of Christ, to come all into the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, from the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, look at this, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now I can spend several hours right now on just this part. Because to me, this is where my life, this is in my passion area here. For my toes to work, it's got to have veins that run from the heart. For my fingers to work, not only does it have to have blood supply, the nerves have got to work, and now all the other things, the tendons, had medical people to get in here, doctor, tell us how many muscles does it take for you just to move your fingers? A lot. You know, the blood, the nerves, the tendons, and all that, the muscles and all that to just do that. It all, you know, this has got to work. This has got to work. This has got, you know, all your organs got to work. Just to do that. Every part doing its share. Everybody doing what they've been called to do. Now, we know Sister Velma probably can't run around with those little kids. She might like to, but she can't run around and chase, you know, those little kids in the nursery or in children's church. But she can do other things. Brother Joey may not have a passion to run around with those little kids. I mean, let's face it, not everybody loves babies. I mean, I know some of you ladies are thinking, what kind of monster are you? Now, I'm getting excited because I'm, I've got a little grandbaby that's on the way, and I can't wait to hold that, but, you know, I love babies, but, I mean, most guys don't really like changing diapers. Let's face it. I mean, when this baby has its first mess, you know what I'm going to do? Here, Grandma. And she's going to take it, and she's going to, you know, clean it up, and she's going, oh, how beautiful and how cute. Some of us aren't made that way. There's nothing wrong with that. We're just not made that way. All of us have a DNA in us, meaning all of us has a makeup of us that makes us who we are, with passions and with different things that like us, that make us who we are. Now, when we look at this, I want to go back to something. I want to get ahead. Equipping. It means the word equipping, it's about preparing, training, perfecting, making fully qualified for service. When you look at the word edifying of the body of Christ, it speaks about building up and strengthening the church. We build up one another. We strengthen one another. We lift up one another. We encourage one another. We help one another. We pray together. We cry together. And yes, we even laugh together. Why? Because we are the body of Christ. And that's what we're supposed to do. When our bodies hurt, when our pink, we smash our finger. Oh yeah, just hang out there and just on your own. No, we kind of coddle that thing, or if it's bleeding, we go get a Band-Aid. This hand heal. You get me? My toe. These hands reach down to that toe and it helps it heal. No matter what is affecting the body, the rest of the body comes and helps the body heal. Hello? I pray you're getting this. We may not know exactly what to do. We may just put a Band-Aid on it and pray over it and say, God, help us. Or we may have to, you know, look a little bit more. But listen, there's sometimes we don't know what to say. There's times we don't know what to do. But just simply being there and letting people know we care. There's an old saying that says, no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Let me go on. I got to hurry. Ezekiel chapter 37. It says, then he caused them to pass around, and behold, there were very many in open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come forth the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. Go on, it says, and I prophesied, and he commanded me, that breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now, we know the story, and I'm not going to go into too deep, but I just want to kind of give us a reference point here. Because these bones were nothing without the skin. These bodies were nothing without the breath. The breath was missing until the bodies were lifeless. Until the breath came into them. Until the breath of the Holy Spirit came into it. We got a lot of churches today that are sitting just like a bunch of dry bones and don't have any skin and don't have anything there. Then we got other churches that are there with the bodies, but there's no breath in them. And I'm praying for God to breathe. one more time, fresh breath, fresh anointing, and fresh touch of His power and His Spirit into our hearts and lives today, that we can stand up and be that exceedingly great army that God wants to use for His purpose. Notice this part, that they came, that breath came into them, they lived and stood up on their feet as an exceedingly great army. We aren't nothing until we stand up and be counted. Stand up and say, Lord, here am I. Stand up and for His glory. Church, sit in these pews, in these comfortable pews, in this beautiful place, all day long. But until we stand up and take our marching orders and go out into the world and let people know that Jesus loves them, we are no good. Hello? Let me go on. Song of Solomon, verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 10, it says, who is she that looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners? An army always has its colors, always carries its banners. When you see a parade, especially with U.S. military, they carry not only, you know, American flag, but they carry their unit, their colors. Of who they are. They're not ashamed of who they are. Now, when they go on the battle, they don't go, I mean, years ago, and of course, you know, they used to do all that, you know, carry their colors and march it in with the, you know, now they, warfare, well, warfare is a little different nowadays. I don't think Brother Travis, when he was serving, went in, you know, they went in marching with their band and stuff and playing in, you know, they went into, you know, foreign land. You didn't do that, did you? No. Because the guy carrying the flag was probably the first one to go get shot. But the army of God, we're not ashamed to let our banner be raised, to let people know who we are. We are the army of the Most High God. We are His children. We are His heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are the beloved. We are the mighty army of God. He is the captain of the host. It's time, church, that we stand up and be counted. And let people know who we are and whose we are. And that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if we can, I don't want to, Lord help me say this right. If we're ashamed now, then you won't have no problem being ashamed later when they threaten your life. I know sometimes, and you know, there, I'm going to go two ways on this, but there's sometimes people say, oh, I will die for Jesus. I will die for Jesus. Well, you won't even live for Him, so why would you die for Him? But in others, they don't know, you know, people don't know you're saved. They don't know that you're a children of God. They don't know you're a believer in Christ. Why? Because there's no signs that you are. There's no identifying markers on your life that you are a believer. And if we have trouble believing and we have trouble confessing today, then there's coming a day when we will, you'll have to make a decision. I pray the Lord comes back before we get to that place. I really do, Sister Mary. I pray the Lord comes and takes the church before we have to get to that such a persecution. But looking at the way this country is going and looking at the way things are heading, looking at the way things are going, church, we better be ready and get ourselves prepared. I know a lot of people are talking about preparedness, and yeah, we all are preparing or should be preparing in some way because we don't know what the future holds. But here's the thing. If we aren't prepared with this, if this ain't a part of our preparedness program, then, honey, there's something wrong with us. We're seeing history repeat itself. And I'm not trying to get on a soapbox. God help me. But we're seeing history repeat itself. And if we aren't ready, church, are you the... Well, let me move on. I'm going to get on a soapbox and I won't get off. Let me get this last point. Time's getting away. We have a responsibility as the leaders and church of this community. We have a responsibility of the future. Isaiah. No, I'm not coughing because of COVID. I got sinuses starting to just decide they want to drain right now, I guess. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, it says, "Forget the former things and do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" Then we go in the book of Joel, chapter 2, and it says this, that he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now, when we look at this, and I don't have time, I'd like to read a little bit more in Joel, but when we look at about the former and the latter rain, the former rain refers to the spring rain, which came at planting time. The latter rain, it was the fall rain that occurred just before the harvest. Now the outpouring, we got to understand, the outpouring of freshening rain, which renews us, the fertility of the parched ground, you know, it begins an outpouring. It talks about the outpouring of the Spirit, which brings and births spiritual renewal. And in these last days, God is looking for those who will be responsible to carry the banners with this final call and responsible enough to proclaim the good news with the power and the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit. Basically, God wants to know who's going to listen to his voice and who's going to believe his report. Sometimes we hear his voice speaking directly to us. And he says things to us like, repent. And we ask, when? The voice demands, now. And then we ask, why? The voice invited us to follow him. But we responded and said, Lord, but first, let me take care of this. The voice instructed us, he who loses his life will find it. But we protest, but my life is all I have. The voice revealed, he who is great, let him serve. And we excused ourselves and says, I can't serve because... The voice of God has been muffled by the noises of this world. The voice of God has been obscured by the clamor of our inner competing lust. The voice has been blocked by the dampers of our sinful bondages and distorted by the frequencies of our compromises. Nevertheless, the voice is still speaking, and it's time we listen. I believe God is trying to awaken the church even now. Not just to pray because things went a different way than what we wanted it to happen, but to pray because we know and that we read and understand the Word of God that the times are short and the days are evil and the coming of the Son of Man is at hand. The voice is speaking to us now. 2 Timothy, and worship team, come on back up here. The 2 Timothy chapter 5 or chapter 2 verse 15 says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Can I remind all of us today that it's time for us to present ourselves? Here am I, Lord. I like what the psalmist said. Search me. Search me and know me. He knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, church. He knows he knows us so well that every hair on our heads are numbered. He knows us so much, he knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. He knows us so much, he knows our passions, he knows our likes, he knows our dislikes, he knows our emotions, he knows every pain and every sorrow, every time when we felt alone, he knows. He knows. But he's also asking, I know you so well. Are you going to follow me and accept the responsibility that I have placed you and called you to? Or are you going to just sit back and continue to sit in the pews and say, go in Sunday morning and, you know, and said, I did my good deed for the week and I got my gold star for the day and go on throughout the week and not even do anything else to help the kingdom of God? Let me make this very cut and dry. Taking a page from something Sherry said years ago when she worked at Head Start many years ago, and she, something they used to tell the kids. And so I'm not trying to be sarcastic, but it's very simple. Okay? There's two ways to look at this. Two ways. You ready? Are you helping the kingdom of God by what you're doing and accepting your responsibility? All right? Are you helping it? I want you to ask yourself this question. Am I accepting my responsibility? Am I accepting my call? And if I don't know what that is, am I finding it? Am I pursuing it? Am I exploring? Am I trying to do my part to help the body of Christ and so that the body of Christ can be edified, which helps the kingdom of God ultimately? So am I helping? Am I accepting my responsibility? And then if you're not helping, here's number two, the other side of this. If I'm not helping, I'm hurting. Well, I'm not hurting the kingdom of God. Pastor, I'm not hurt. Listen, if you're not helping, you're hurting. If you're not accepting your responsibility, then you're neglecting your responsibility, which hurts the body of Christ. Look at your body. The leg decides, I don't want to work. I don't want to do anything. So what happens? It's not helping. And ultimately, it hurts it. I know years ago, I had an accident and I had a 55-gallon drum roll on this knee. Had a brace on it, had to work, you know, walk around in crutches for a long time, and then which for several weeks and for it to heal and do all the things that they were doing. So my weight, which I was a lot thinner back then, but all my weight was on this leg. And after a couple months, guess what happened? This knee started having issues. Why? Because it was overcompensating. Even though one part of the body don't want to work, it eventually hurts the body. Are you getting this? So I come back to this point. Are you helping or are you hurting the body of Christ? Stand with me this morning. I started with this scripture. Well, actually, I started with two. But I want to go back to this one. The Lord said in Exodus 4:2, the Lord said to him, and I want you to take this personally. The Lord said to her, the Lord said to him, the Lord said to you, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? And then finally, this last verse before I close. Back in James, for him that knows to do good and does it not, To him it is
sin.
So are you ready? Father, right now I pray, Lord, before we move, Lord God, into the altar, and before we, Lord, respond to this word this morning, Lord, I just pray that you would just speak to every life here today. Lord, there is a responsibility that you have called us to. Whether we're leaders or whether we're just a part of the body of Christ, we all have a responsibility. We all have been called to do our part. Lord, I pray right now that in the name of Jesus, everyone that's listening today, that, Lord, they would hear the word and respond to the word. For, Lord, there's some today that are not fulfilling their call and their responsibility in you. So, Lord, today I pray that we make a determination, that we have a resolve in our spirit today that we are going to step up in the midst of all this turmoil, in the midst of all this uncertainty. God, you are calling the church forth. It's time for the church to be the church, for the church to raise up and be what you have called it to be and purposed it to be. Just like the church has a purpose, God, and a vision, all of us. Lord, you have instilled a vision within us. Help us, oh God, to accept that. God, I want to help the church. I want to help the body of Christ. I want to help the kingdom of God. I don't want to be hurtful. I want to help it. So, Lord, I pray right now that you speak to every heart and every life here today, that we would respond and accept our responsibility. As everyone is still, every head bowed and everyone's still praying, everyone just listening to the voice of God right now, I want to invite you today, if you're here today, or whether you're watching, but if you're here today, I want you to, you say, Pastor, I'm not fulfilling my purpose. Or maybe you don't know your purpose. That's fine. But if you're here today and say, I don't know, or I know I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, I want you to come to these altars and make a commitment to God, not to me, but to him. And say, Lord, I want to do my part. And I want to accept the responsibility that you have placed in my hands, that I may fulfill my call and my responsibility in your kingdom. And I want you to come right now as the music plays. And right now, I want you to just begin to come and kneel at these altars. If you need special prayer, just come and stand. We will pray with you. But right now, I want you, it's time, church. It's time to accept your responsibility. Come on. Come on. Right now. God is looking. Are you helping or are you hurting?
I know.